And we'll go ahead and pray. Lord, I do pray to ask you to help us to understand this. I pray you'd help us to understand the full meaning of belief and what you desire for every single one of us. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us to follow through with your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, in Genesis 15 is the very first time the word believe is found in the Bible. Believe and its derivative, believed, believeth. It's found a little over 300 times in the Bible. Okay, so how do I know? As I read through the Bible in 3 hours and counted every one of them and circled them. And so, speed reader. So there's 300 of them. Almost a third of them are found in the Gospel according to John. So that's very significant to get that about John. Genesis 15 is the very first occurrence. Exodus 4 is the second occurrence. And amazingly, the idea of belief has like three characteristics to it. Okay, and so in chapter 15, I'll read this one. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Abram said, "The Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abram said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir." And he brought him forth abroad and said, "Look now toward heaven and tell the stars." So is it nighttime? Look at the stars, tell the stars. A bank teller counts things, counts money. So he's telling him, count the stars if you can. "If thou be able to number them," and he said unto him, "so shall thy seed be." Straight statement. This guy is in his 70s probably at this time, maybe even in his 80s. His wife, 10 years younger. And notice, and he believed in the Lord, and he, the Lord, counted it to him for righteousness. So the Lord told him that, and he says, "I believe." And the Lord says, "You do? Well, I'm going to give you my righteousness." This is the first example of belief. And actually, this falls in line with what is commonly known as legal ease or the legal world. When you go into court or deal with attorneys, they're speaking English words, but they have different definitions. And so it's like a foreign language. So what does it mean to believe? And are there agents for belief? An agent is someone that delivers information for you and I to choose to believe or not. And I dare say there are three agents. And this is the first one in Genesis 15. And in the legalese world, the word believe or belief means a conviction of truth existing subjectively in the mind and induced by argument, persuasion, and proof addressed to the judgment. So in the legal world, this is a subjective belief that you have in your mind and it's yours only. So if you happen to read something like an affidavit and in there it says based upon information and belief, when the individual signs the belief part of that, includes that, it nullifies the whole thing because belief is separate from evidence. And that's a sneaky way of being able to lie without being punished. In the legal world, belief is distinguished from proof, evidence, and testimony. Okay, and it nullifies an affidavit. You could say, if you want to have, you know, if you are really weird and want to go into court and say to a judge, "You are a dirt, low down scoundrel," he will charge you with contempt. But you can say, "I believe you are a low down scoundrel," and he can't do anything with that. And this is where the Lord told the apostles, we need to be wise as serpent and harmless as a dove. So when you're dealing with people on the street, depending on the individual and you're discerning the spirit, you may want to use the word "I believe" quite often because that's a personal belief. Now, in the legal world, they separate that from evidence. Okay? And so they do that on purpose. Or you learn to ask questions. You answer a question with a question. That's where you got to be. I just saw a video of a gentleman in Europe who got arrested because some fruit was upset that he said something. And they arrested a man. So much for free speech. Okay, and so a person needs to learn to say, I believe. Now, that definition is limited in the legal world because the Bible gives three agents. They only go with one. And the reason why they do this is because in the secular world, they say that you and I have no evidence of God. Zero. And so that's how they justify themselves. In the normal dictionary of common vernacular, believe is defined to be to consider to be true or honest, to accept the word or evidence of, to have faith, confidence, or trust. And actually, those offer the three agents of belief in the Bible. Now, in this day and age, Christians and pastors seem to demand evidence of one's belief in Jesus Christ. Now, when they say that, they are the qualifier of the evidence. If you don't match their qualifications, then, and you know, they're holy, and so then you're not saved. You're not a believer. The same goes in a secular world where they demand evidence from us to prove there's God. When there's evidence everywhere, but they've rejected it. Now, like I said, that almost a third of the occurrences of belief are found in the gospel according to John, so obviously it became one of his favorite words. And Jesus said, people who are born of the Spirit are like the wind. And so we take that by faith. Meaning, if somebody tells me that they are born again and saved, I might ask a few questions, but I'm not going to sit there and say they are saved or lost by what they say. Because God is looking at the heart. Now, in Genesis 15, the first agent of belief comes directly from God. And this could be subjective. So this is why you and I would tell people our personal experiences of being born again, but that don't register with people because they've not experienced that. That's where subjectivity is allowed or okayed because it's a personal thing. In Genesis 15, God personally told Abraham, you're going to have as many descendants as the stars of heaven. And Abraham said, I believe you. Did Sarah believe that? Did he tell Sarah that? He didn't tell Sarah that. He told that to Abraham. That's why she wavered on it. Now, why did Abraham believe it? He's had 10 years of experience with God. Genesis 12 is where the introduction took place. Genesis 15, so he's had a decade of experience with God saying, well, you've never lied to me before, so why should I not believe you now? And he did. Okay, so that one is where it is coming directly from the Lord. If you would, try Romans chapter 4. This is the New Testament comment about that, Romans 4. Verse 17, if you kind of run down with it, where we won't read it word for word, but you kind of skim down through it. In verse 4, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Okay, that is Genesis 17. If you follow the cross references. Before him whom he believed, Abraham believed in Genesis 15. Even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, Abraham. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. That's Genesis 15. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. He's in his 80s. And then he says, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. She did. Did she not? She did, because she didn't get this direct message from God. Abraham did not, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Okay, so this is the first agent where the Lord God, through his words, tells the individual about an idea or thought. In the New Testament, Jesus Christ pointed people to the scriptures. In the story of Luke 16, where the rich man Lazarus, and then the rich man asked Abraham, well, would you send somebody back from the dead? They'll believe somebody from the dead, a miracle. And the comment goes, they got the scriptures. He pointed them to the scriptures. And that's what Jesus did a lot. He pointed them to the scriptures. Now, who's the author of the scriptures? Well, it's the Spirit of God. Now, how does the Spirit of God bear witness to you and I, born again people? 1 Corinthians 2. He goes to his words. The Spirit of God bears witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God. He doesn't tell somebody else that I'm a child of God. That's a belief that I'm getting directly from God. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9, the Spirit of God, it says, how he, the Spirit of God, guides each saved individual in all truth. In verse 9, as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Direct, it's personal, it's subjective, that's between God and I. It's not so personal that I don't want to tell somebody about it. You ever witness somebody, are you born again? That's personal. Whoa, sorry. If I got what you have, then I wouldn't want to give it to somebody else. Mine's personal, but I like to give it to somebody else. And then he says, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? So the Spirit bears witness to our spirit, individual spirit. Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received them not, received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual with spiritual. So how does the Spirit of God bear witness to my spirit? It's through these words. He's the author, he's the teacher. But for me to explain that to somebody else, they don't get it because they don't get that experience. That's subjective. The key word on belief on this characteristic or agent is agree. Amos 3 verse 3, how shall two walk together except they be agreed? So if somebody who's had a track record with me of telling the truth, they tell me a story, maybe it's an outlandish story. If I agree with their story, I will say, I believe you. Agreement. So when God himself reveals himself through his words to each and every one of us, our key in belief is, I agree with you. The second area is in Exodus 4. Exodus 4. Now this is with Moses. Moses and his brother Shemp and Jerome, or Curly. Shemp was Samuel. Curly was Jerome. That's right. Okay. The heroes of the Jewish faith. Okay, so Moses, okay, the storyline, remember, Israel, 2 to 3 million people were in Egypt. God wants them to come out of Egypt. He chose Moses to do the job. How does he convince these people? You ever have somebody, God told me. I hear people say, God told me. I say, are you sure about that? Which God? The Lord is leading me. I don't know. The Lord, he gets credit for a lot of things that doesn't belong to him. Okay, but Exodus 4. Now, Moses is very logical. The Lord revealed to him. So that's characteristic number one. I want you to lead Israel out of Egypt. Okay, I got you, but you told me that. You didn't tell them that. What about them? Exodus 4, verse 1. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me. Oh, that's logical, of course. Nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what's in thy hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground and became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand, take it up by the tail. And he put forth his hand, caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. And Moses probably said, wow, that's a pretty neat trick. Verse 5, that they may believe. So this is a spiritual evidence reinforcing the words. The first one is directly from God, subjective. This is objective. It's outside. It's in the evidence of people. Then he says, that they may believe the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, God of Jacob, and hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand in his bosom. And when Napoleon took it out, his hand became leprous. And he said, put forth thine hand in thy bosom again. He put his hand in his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again at his other flesh. The gift of healing. Sign number one, rod down, snake, pick it back up. Second miracle, gift of healing. This is how Israel began. This is why they demand signs throughout their history. Verse 8, and it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it came to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it on the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. So he's got three miracles. And so a person would tend to think, oh, they're going to believe that. Yeah, but the Egyptian magicians could do all three of those. That's the problem with that. Satan's got tremendous power. So what the Lord said, okay, let's step this up one more thing. And if you go to Exodus 19, verse 9. So the Lord knows that the devil can counterfeit things of God. And so this is spiritual evidence. This is not carnal evidence. This is spiritual evidence come from God. But the devil can counterfeit it. And so the Lord says, okay, let's make this more objective. He said, I'm going to tell them. So God Almighty is going to tell these people who he wants to lead. Exodus 19, verse 9. The Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And then chapter 20, God spoke those 10 commandments. And they were so scared that they said, you go back up and talk to them. And then the Lord said, good plan. But what this is spiritual evidence outside of personal conversation. This steps in the realm of objectivity. What could a Jewish person, well, how do you know God, you know, you're supposed to be, didn't you hear that? Are you deaf or something? That was objective coming from God. But the problem is these Jews have seen so many miracles, they got hard to it. Okay, like in sports, okay, if you got a superstar athlete, Let's take Michael Jordan, for example, where he averages 30 points a game. If he had a night where he scored 20 points, most people would say, wow, he had an off night. But the other players, that would almost be a career night. But they got used to that talent level, and they were disappointed if he didn't reach the talent level. These people saw 10 plagues. They saw the Red Sea crossing. They heard God speak from Mount Sinai. They saw the mountain on fire. They saw water come from a rock. They had manna. They had the quails. They got used to that stuff. They got hard to it. Now, Gentiles, they think more, because here's what the Ninevites did. After the Ninevites saw and smelled Jonah 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, wrinkled, smelled like puke, excuse me, vomit, upchuck, whatever. He comes into Nineveh and they say, "What's that? 40 days, you're dead duck." And they said, "We believe." And God saw their faith. He saw it and they repented. The children of this world are often wiser than the children of light. Why? It's because they don't see that as that often. This is spiritual evidence that reinforces the belief. And that what God would do in the Old Testament to try to get Israel's attention, he would send prophets. Elijah, 8 miracles. Elisha, 16 miracles. And he'd send these prophets. And like Jehoshaphat said in 2 Chronicles 20:20, "Believe the prophets and ye shall prosper." But they did not. They rejected the spiritual evidence that was given to them. I mean, the sun went backwards 10 degrees in Hezekiah's day. The sun stopped for almost 24 hours. Can you imagine people around the world? What's wrong with my watch? Where the sun stopped. They had those great miracles, but they got so hard to it. They rejected those spiritual evidences. Now, the key on this one, where the Lord Jesus, after the resurrection, he said to those guys on that day, he said, "Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all the prophets." He said, "You got to believe the prophets." But this is where objectivity allows one to consider the supernatural signs, but the deceptiveness of man's heart leads him to reject those signs. The key word on this agent is acceptance. You accept the evidence. 1 Timothy 1 verse 15 mentions the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it says it's worthy of all acceptation. On this one, we are to accept it, and that believes. The third area is found in Hebrews chapter 11. Okay, so the second area where you have supernatural evidences or spiritual evidences that reinforce the belief, this one is natural evidences that verify the belief. And these are the two techniques that God witnesses to every single person, where he does it naturally first through the creation, Romans 1:20. He does it supernaturally through their conscience, Romans 2:15. When they accept those, then he will come in and manifest himself to them. In Hebrews chapter 11, notice it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Notice that faith and belief were put in the same verse in Romans, so they're akin in definition. But notice, biblical faith here has substance and evidence. Substance is what the science world uses. Evidence is what the legal world uses. Substance and evidence. True biblical faith has natural substance and evidence that verifies it. In verse 3, he says, "Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God." So one time I was down at Purdue and I was talking to this evolutionist kid, and I said, "Look at that building over there. That building has evolved over at least about 10 million years. Can you believe that?" I mean, when you see a house, what do you know when you see a house? You see that somebody framed it. When you see the creation, you know somebody framed it. I mean, that's just logical. That's natural. This is why 1 Thessalonians 5:21 tells us to prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. So biblical faith is something we can prove in the natural world. Perfect example, if you go to Job 39. In Job 38, 39, 40, 41, God is speaking directly to Job, and God gives a bunch of scientific illustrations, and one is a seed. Has anybody in this room ever put, a bean in the garden and corn came up? I mean, did you got genetically modified one, corn came up? No. Has you ever seen, Ange is going to be a grandma because her dog's going to have puppies. Well, maybe it's going to have cats. Who knows? Unless the Creator established after his kind. In Job 39, verse 12, he said, "Wilt thou believe him that he will bring home thy seed and gather it into the barn?" We have yet to fill the planter up with corn and got soybeans out of it. It didn't happen. That's a natural evidence. That's a creation. That's God testifying to a person right in front of us. It is evidence of a creator. It's evidence of a resurrection where the seed dies to itself, takes on moisture, and a new body comes out of it. The Lord Jesus used that illustration in John chapter 12. So this is evidence that is objective. It's outside of a person where everybody has this evidence and we can allow the natural signs, but yet the deceptive heart will come up with the idea of evolution. But yet there has never yet been anybody who took this jar in the laboratory with nothing inside and sat there and watched it until poof, little explosion took place and something came out of it. That's never been demonstrated. So the natural world is evidence of a creator. If you go into the woods and you find a watch, okay, what's that evidence for? That watch, evidence. There's a designer, there's a creator, and there was an owner. It could be all one and the same. It could be three separate people. That watch didn't accidentally show up. That's evidence. And so the creation out here is evidence of a creator. Those are objective. Those are the three agents. We have it personally, directly from God to me, the individual. You have a supernatural or spiritual evidences. And some of us have experienced that through answered prayer. Okay, and then you have the natural evidence. Now, God will use the natural and the conscience because he has lighted the heart of every man. But man's deceptiveness will bury that. What is God wanting for each and every one of us? He wants us to believe in our heart. In Acts chapter 8, when Philip witnessed to the Ethiopian eunuch, the eunuch asked about getting water baptized. And Philip said, "You may." He didn't say you must. He said, "You may." And he says, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." He didn't say must, mayest. And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God." That came from his heart. You see, we believe with our heart. Now, science tells you your heart doesn't think. Oh, yes, it does. It has a memory. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. As a man thinketh in his heart. There's been physical evidence of that, of some people who's got a heart transplant and they took on some of the memory. They start remembering some things of the person they got the heart from. And some of them, their personality actually changed to that individual. Not all of them, but a few of them. There's some natural evidence that the heart thinks. Now, if you go to the gospel according to John, that's where belief is all found through there. If you look in John chapter 20, and if you're dealing with somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're, maybe they're honest skeptic, if there's such a thing. Yeah, there's honest skeptics. If this person is willing to find out directly from God, I mean, they're not going to accept the natural one. They're not going to accept the spiritual. Tell them, take them to John. It's got 21 chapters. And tell them, hey, would you read this? If they won't, just smile and say, well, then you're a bigot. You're narrow-minded. I can't help you. Would you consider this? Are you broad-minded? Would you consider John? Okay, it doesn't matter if you believe in God or not. Would you try read 21 chapters? And I would suggest to pray something like, dear God, if there's a God. Dear Jesus, if you're real. And read each of the chapters and see if God bears witness to it. Why do I say that? John 20 verse 30 says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. So I one time put that challenge on a male witch. And he said he'd do it. And he got five chapters, got after five, you know, 2 weeks later, I came across him, five chapters. He said, I need to talk to you. I said, okay, what for? And he said, I need to get saved. I said, what for? He said, I did what you said. I got up to five chapters. I said, and? He said, I prayed to your God and got an answer. I didn't get one from mine. Why? Because that's what John's written for. And then if you go back to verse 29, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. That's what the new birth is about. Where we can get born above. And he told Nicodemus, if I tell you earthly things, how are you going if I tell you heavenly things? And that's the salvation. Now, in this agent of objectivity, the key word is acknowledgement. To acknowledge it. Another way of saying that's to admit it. But look, if you would, in 2 Timothy. Just simply to acknowledge that it's true. 2 Timothy 2, verse 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. That's all we're trying to get the person. Do you acknowledge that this is true? The natural evidences. Now, when a person is given all three of those agents, where God is working generically on every single individual through the creation, that's the natural evidences, and through their conscience, that's the spiritual evidences, and the evidence of this is God has lighted the heart of every man. Now, the proof of this is when a man believes in some form of justice. Plus, they got clothes on. Thank God for that. That shows your conscience. They got clothes on. Then the Lord may get involved. But now in this direct relation, if a person gets all three, reject that, unbelief becomes a powerful sin. It's the sin that sends a man to hell. Unbelief. It's because they've had all three agents work on them to present evidence to them, and they've rejected that. And in Hebrews 3:12, it's called an evil heart of unbelief. Now, I'm sure many of you have seen this, and I've seen this, that often you'll hear Hosea 4:6 used, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And I'm almost always have heard it written like that, and that's only part of the story. If Paul Harvey was here, he would read the rest of the story. And in that passage, it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And then it says, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. They had the chance, but rejected it. That's why unbelief, the sin of unbelief, is a direct rejection of the three agents that God wants us to believe in our hearts. And when we believe in our heart, then we have fellowship with God, and how shall two walk together except they be agreed? Amen. That is a true blessing, that the Creator is willing to give each of us individually information that we need. Fascinating. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to see the complete and total definition of belief, and that we have it from thee directly through your words. We have spiritual evidences, often in answered prayer. And we have the natural world, which is testifying. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. But people are so blind to it because they purposely, in many cases, reject it. And Lord, I pray you do what we can to help give them evidence. And we pray, like in 2 Timothy, that they would acknowledge the truth. And by chance, if someone in this room is not saved, is not born again, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. There is no one like him. No one. No one can come close to meeting the qualifications of the Lord Jesus Christ. The piano plays, the altar's open if you'd like to use it. Believe. Paul said, I believe God even as it was told me. Well, what God told him at that time is he was heading for a shipwreck. And in the shipwreck, he said, the ship's going down, but everybody's getting ashore. 276 people got to shore. And Paul told those guys, I believe God even as it was told me. When they got to the shore, they realized, whoa, God showed you something. And I have the physical evidence now to back it up. An amazing thing. That's how the Bible works. Lord, I thank you for your words. I thank you that you have given these agents of belief for each and every one of us so that we can be a pleasure to thee, O Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.